Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
On Broadway.
Welcome back, 7 till the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Have a great visit with our good friend, Bill Dunkelberg, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. And Bill's website is nfib.com. That's where you can find the report. Also, he allows us to post it on our website, which we appreciate very much. And also his own website, which is smallbiz.org, smallbus.org. You can find out all the things he does there on that site. Bill, thanks again for being here. Let's get into the, this is an interesting section of your report. Wages are up and profits are down. That doesn't sound good for small business owners.
Right. It doesn't. But we did have almost 25% of the owners tell us that they raised worker comp. And that's historically, that's a pretty darn good number. But match that up with a negative 1% saying that they raised prices, meaning more firms cut prices than raised prices. And you get the picture that it's not very good for profits. They're not passing on these increased comp costs to the customer by raising selling prices. And it's hard to raise selling prices, you know, in a sluggish economy like this. You can't do it.
But yet there's still pressure on wages.
Yep, there's pressure on wages, you know, to keep going. Remember, you know, we grow 3 million people every year, so we do have to keep hiring.
So overlay, Bill, this news, this report that you've given us now on profits and wages, and then overlay the Obama administration and New York and Washington, Seattle and the California, state of California, overlay their desire to go to $15 minimum wage. These two facts, those policies and the facts that you've shown us here in this survey, they don't reconcile, do they?
No, they don't. I just wrote a piece, which I'll have to send you, that points out, that looks at the Fed and all their pronouncements about how they're trying to create jobs, and then looks at the government. And it looks at all the things they're doing to kill jobs, including, of course, you know, supporting a higher minimum wage, and then all the other mandatory stuff that goes with it. Of course, the health care requirements, all this stuff. So they're busy making hiring a worker more difficult, more expensive, while the Fed is trying to create an extra new job. So they're running at each other, and of course that doesn't bode well for overall economic policy and progress.
And let's think about a scenario here, Bill. So you and I are running a business out here, and we're trying to grow. We're planning to grow, and we're making a decision about how to execute that growth. How much of it's going to be people driven, and how much of it's going to be technology driven, equipment driven, right?
Right.
And so here we hear all this noise about increasing minimum wage to $15. We drop that number in our models. It doesn't work. Not that we don't pay people $15 already. It's just that when the first person gets 15, then the people have been with us for 5 years. We got to take them to 20.
Exactly. You got to pay for their skill difference.
So now you and I are sitting here, and here comes a smart young person in the door and says, "Hey, we can automate a bunch of your stuff." Now, this is a long-term decision, 5-10-year decision. You're making a sea change in the way you're going to execute your business. You know what? I'm starting to listen now. What about you?
Yeah, indeed we do that, and we'll probably see more and more of that, because that's what the government is inducing us to do, is to replace labor with capital.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the technology is terrific, and it's changing all the time. It's amazing the
development
there.
But what does it do to the people?
There, so.
Look what it does to the people.
Yep, it's really not a good set of policies at all. We looked at Seattle last year ago, April, went to the $15 minimum wage, and employment fell by thousands and thousands right away. I mean,
wow.
They were on a rise for employment, and at that point in April, employment growth stopped, and then thousands of people were lost every week, so and all the way through the year. So they've just done nothing but lose jobs with a $15 minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
which you would predict. I mean, any sensible person would say, well, you know, if you make labor more expensive, people won't hire them.
The minimum wage fallacy is completely clear now, folks. And so when you understand that it is a lie, raising minimum wage helps people, then you realize that it's all a cynical campaign wedge issue, isn't it, Bill?
Exactly. Most poor people don't work. They're on welfare anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they don't get helped.
Or if they want to, they need to have a place to go to work.
That's right. And you raise the minimum wage, it gets harder for them to go. And, of course, every dollar a minimum wage worker gets comes out of somebody else's pocket. There's no gain in spending power here.
Bill, thanks for 16 great years. Come back again next month.
Thank you, sir. Always good to be with you.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get him back again real soon. I'm Jim Blassingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.